Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Turning our attention now to talking about connections, our connections to certain places, and how maps are often symbols of this special bond. Our guest is Marcy Bidney. She is the Assistant Director for Distinctive Collections, Curator of the American Geographical Society Library at the UW-Milwaukee. And it's great to have her with us. How have you built a connection with where you live? What do you think makes us nostalgic for certain places? What makes maps special? Do you collect maps? I collect a few maps. I talk about the ones I collect. What about you? What do you love about them? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Marcy Bidney, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry. It's really great to be here.
Well, great to have you here. I understand you read The Geography of Bliss that we were just discussing. What did you think of the book?
So I read it. It's interesting that you asked the question because it has been sitting on our bookshelf. And my husband actually made notes in the front of it of when we read it. And we read it 11 years ago. And I would not have thought that it was that long ago. And I, of course, read it because really it has the title Geography in it. And it does have this connection to place and thinking about, you know, what happens in different areas of the world that people connect with to make them happy or just like what their culture looks like. And I feel like the author did a really good job highlighting a good diverse selection of places around the world and describing them and just really giving folks an opportunity to see inside each of these different places that he highlighted in the book. I loved it when I read it, and I now pulling it back off my shelf, I think I'm actually going to read it again.
it is a lot of fun. There were many times in the book where I just sort of laughed out loud. So, it's fun to read about new places, maybe places you haven't been. I've had an opportunity to spend a fair amount of time in other countries. I lived for a year in Trinidad. I spent 6 weeks in Pakistan. I've spent quite a bit of time in several countries in the Caribbean, and also in Nicaragua. I spent quite a bit of time there. And you know what? For those places, Trinidad, Nicaragua, Pakistan, I have maps of those places, and they were maps that I purchased at the time. There may have been some changes, but I love having maps.
I think, you know, it's most people do. So when Jane emailed me about coming on the show today, I'm going to say yes to this because it's really one of the things that I enjoy most about the job that I do is I get to see people in the maps, really. So when people can come into the library and take a look at the collections that we have, they're always immediately drawn to the maps. And I've spent a lot of time in the last 8 years that I've worked here, kind of thinking about what it is about these objects that draw people into them. And it could be, you know, it could be a map, like you said, of Pakistan, or it could be a map of where their ancestors came from, or it could be a map of where they grew up. And the common thread that I've come to identify through all of these, I think, is really it's a memory thing. People remember things when they are looking at maps. So if you were to pull out that map of Pakistan, like instantly you're transported back to this time and to this place that you were there. And you're thinking about your experience while you were in Pakistan. And then, you know, you start to think about, well, what I wonder what it looks like now or what it feels like now. And so it also sparks this curiosity and imagination of these places that can be so unfamiliar to people. And I just love just sitting back and watching people have those interactions with the objects.
You should tell us, I mean, talk about your role and where you were.
So the American Geographical Society Library is a map and geography library here at UW-Milwaukee. And we focus on having a well-rounded research collection, primarily focused on cartography, history of cartography, geography, the history of geography, travel and exploration, and the history of travel and exploration. So really, if you are a map person or you are a geography geek, this is in the Midwest, we are kind of ground zero for that. And so our map collection is roughly around 600,000 objects dating from 1452 up until the present. We're still purchasing maps that were made, in 2020 and 2021. And they are of every place that you can imagine. So typical political maps that show typical geographic information to, maps of the ocean or mountains and things like that. So it really runs the gamut of the different types of maps that are out there. And really, people can certainly be drawn to modern maps, but when we do have folks coming in and we put up exhibits on various topics, it's typically the old maps that people are really drawn to. That's really what we're putting out as well. So, maps from the 17th and 18th centuries that show places that were at that point in time just being explored and described in this new kind of visual way. People love going back and thinking like, oh, that's what that looked like. That's what they thought that looked like, in 1750. Yeah, that's what, so and people are always kind of surprised at what they knew and equally surprised at what the map makers didn't know. And so that's what we do, and that's what our collection holds.
Are you a fan of the comic strip Fraz?
I've not ever heard of that.
Fraz.
I'm writing that down.
You'd better write it down because the last week or so, the whole every day, the topic has been about maps.
Oh, I'm
And
definitely going to take a look at that.
Fraz is the janitor at a grade school, and the one of the kids glomps onto a an atlas. And they've spent the week each day they've been talking about different aspects, and today I think it was today he was talking about the youngster was talking about how close the mapping was on Michigan and how it looked, and he said it doesn't look as good in when they got out west to North Dakota, and Fraz says, "Well, they were probably a lot tireder by the
They were worn out. They couldn't be bothered to draw the rest of it. I'll definitely take a look at that.
Oh yeah, you've definitely got to take a look at that. I was thinking of you all week, as a matter of fact. I thought, oh, I've got to make sure I remember to mention that to Marcy. So, Marcy Bidness, our guest today, Assistant Director for Distinctive Collections, Curator of the American Geographical Society Library at UW-Madison, Milwaukee. Questions or comments for her? What do you think about maps? Do you have a strong connection to maps or maybe to certain places? It can be a nostalgic and sort of, for me it is anyway, it's kind of a nostalgic symbol of those special bonds I have with the country of Trinidad, for example, where I had a whole year there, And it was a lot of fun for me, and it's fun to have the maps. Well, join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And you know, those maps do tell us, it's fun to look at the older maps, but they tell us a story about the world during a particular time, I guess, don't they?
They do. And what we knew in the Western world. So our collection is primarily made up of Western cartography drawn by typical colonial powers, so Great Britain, France, United States, etc. So it's our representation of what we saw and what we understood the world to look like during those periods of time. And in exploring, so places such as Africa or Asia, or even, you know, Australia, when Cook was heading to do the exploration in that area, because it was still in the 1700s that we didn't really understand in the Western world that this giant continent existed. And so Cook was out there exploring and looking for new places. And that's really the where the exploration and the curiosity, I think, comes in for most folks, is that they're always curious to know what was known at a given time and how it is different from what we know mm-hmm. about the world and what the world looks like today. You know, we have the Liardo map of the world. It's from 1452, and you look at this map and it's a circle, so you're not really going to understand that it is a map of a place, or it's a of the world. And so when I show it to folks, I let them look at it for a couple of minutes to kind of soak it in before I start talking about it or engaging them and asking them what they think they're looking at. And when they're looking at it, they don't think that they're looking at a map of the world. And then I start pointing things out on the map, and you can see it click in their brains, like, oh, why is it drawn in this way? Because it's turned in a different orientation. And what, you know, we talk about what knowledge is represented on the Liardo map from 1452. And so it's also a great way to educate people about changes in science and changes in what the world understood about land and space in that time.
Just drawing maps, there's quite an art. Talk about that, the whole art of map making, drawing.
It is an art, and I was just actually having a conversation with one of my staff members last week, because she was cataloging an atlas from 1611 that we have in the collection, and the maps in it are absolutely exquisite. And I spent some time sitting in the room kind of paging through the atlas to take a look at them. And it was very interesting, because typically when we have older maps like that, they're known by the cartographer or the publisher. So this particular map and atlas, we call it the Speed Atlas because it was produced by John Speed. And you never really hear so much about the other people who are involved in the production of these maps, because it's not just one person. There's a series of people who are involved in the map making. There's the person who does the engraving on the copper plate. There's the person then who does the printing. And then there's the person who gets all the glory, who compiles all of these things together and sells them. And what I really appreciated that John Speed did in his atlases on the maps was he noted where he got the information from for those particular maps, because even the person who's drawing that cartography, particularly in that time, they weren't the ones necessarily who were out there discovering and exploring these places. They were relying on information either from prior maps or from people who were out there doing the exploring and coming back and talking about what they saw or reading about their descriptions of the places that they saw. And so there's a lot of labor that does go into creating these absolutely beautiful works of art that a lot of people don't know. And that's okay, just because, you know, it's a esoteric thing to know about. And so it's interesting also to kind of talk about that and think about the work that goes into map making. Certainly modern map making now is a lot easier than it was back in 1611.
You know, Chris in Milwaukee has a question about maps and orientation. Chris, thanks for calling.
Sure. Hi. Yeah, I just tuned in a few minutes ago. So, but I love maps. And in fact, when the question comes up about what's your favorite book and people talk about a religious text or a novel, and I always say the Atlas, but within that, I would have to say a globe. There's no substitute for a globe, because then you get a true sense of the shape of things, of the planet. And my question or comment is, I'm from New Zealand originally, and so I'm in the habit of taking the globe that we have at home and putting it in what would normally be regarded by convention as upside down. to avoid this sense that people have that south is down. And I think it's sort of trivial in some ways, but it does, I know it confuses some people, because I've even heard people explain to me that rivers flow south because that's down and things like that. And I'm just curious if there's any move to have a more universal convention as to what up and down means relative to north and south.
I think it's a really great point. And we do have some maps in our collection that flip the script and have the Southern Hemisphere as the Northern Hemisphere. And it really just is what became the dominant narrative from out of maps in a certain time period. And it's just what has stuck. And there are certainly implications of a visualization that shows things at the top, because we think about things on top as being better or good, and things below a certain point or on the bottom as not necessarily as good. And so I'm not aware of any conversations about wholesale change as to how we are producing maps, but there are map makers out there who do it, who produce the quote unquote upside down map. I think one of our globes, actually, we have continuously turned upside down, so that it does change that perspective of the world. We get so used to seeing it the way we see it, and it looks completely different when you flip it around.
Thank you, Chris, for calling. Carol in Lebanon, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Yes. Hi. Welcome. I'm so glad you're talking about maps. I love maps. I love the fact that you can choose a different route when you're traveling somewhere. If you decide, well, I want to go home a different way, and I have a Wisconsin Gazetteer, if I'm pronouncing that right, which I use a lot, because you can see where different land formations are, or parks, or anything when you're traveling. And the kids these days are just listening to a voice telling them turn left, turn right, and it's like, oh, you are missing out on a whole new world out there. I remember taking a trip with our kids to Florida, and I had my grade school daughter read the map for me as we were traveling around a city, and she did very well at it, but those skills are gone now. I mean, they're relying on something else.
We may be losing them. I don't know. Marcy, what do you think?
I don't know. So I think on some level, Carol is correct. I bridge both worlds. So grew up with an atlas in my lap when we were on family road trips. I was the person who was looking, you know, around and trying to find different routes to go, the different places that we were going. And still do that to this day. When my husband and I hop in the car and we're off on adventures, we have a Wisconsin Gazetteer so that we can see where we're going, because I want to see what's next. And having your GPS on your phone isn't going to tell you that information. But there is usefulness in having the tool of the GPS on your phone for places where, you know, the map maybe isn't as detailed as you need it to be. And as the losing of the skill of understanding modern cartographic objects is one that I think about a lot. And I see plenty of young people coming into our library and using our collections, that it does give me hope that all is not lost. There are still folks in the younger generations who are drawn to the paper maps and still utilizing the paper maps, probably not as much as those of us who are a little bit older would like them to. But I think all is not lost yet. And I think it's kind of also like that when ebooks were coming out, everybody's like, oh my gosh, nobody's ever going to have books anymore. And we still have books. So I have hope that we will still have maps, and people will still be drawn to either looking at them or actually using them in actual navigation.
Well, Marcy, this went too quickly, and here we have lots of callers online yet. I hope you'll be able to come back and talk with us again. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Marcy Bidney, Assistant Director for Distinctive Collections and Curator of the American Geographical Society Library at UW-Milwaukee. Some point post-COVID, we're going to be able to go over there and take a look. It's great to have her with us today. We'll talk with her again. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow it's Garden Talk. Jared Gettle from Baker's Seeds is going to join us tomorrow to talk about some new and unique seeds. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.